Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the historical account that we have in the passages that we have read, particularly the passage from Joshua 2 about Rahab, demonstrates to us that the good news of Jesus Christ comes those whom you and I might least expect for it to reach. I had been thinking about entitling this sermon, An Unexpected Candidate for Salvation. And we'll see how that plays out also in this as we look at the faith lesson that we receive from Rahab. And we will see from this message that Rahab's faith at work points us to faith alone in Jesus Christ. Faith at work points us to faith alone in Jesus Christ. We would think that the news from the Old Testament and God's relationship with his people would be intended entirely for the people of Israel. But we find in different examples in the Old Testament where there are those to whom the gospel of Jesus Christ reaches out to who are not of the people of Israel. And among them, we have here a Canaanite woman who is used by God in a very special way to prepare the way for the Savior, Jesus Christ, for the coming of Jesus Christ. We need to look at the context, perhaps, of this as we go back to Numbers 13, because in Numbers 13, we already have checking out of the land of Canaan by 12 spies, or are sent by Moses to check out the lay of the land and find out what is out there as they are going to be sent into that land in time to overcome and to take over that land. And as the 12 come back, 10 of the 12, as we read about that in Numbers 13, come back with a very dismal report. The walls are so thick. They are so high. The giants are twice our size. We can't do this. But Joshua and Caleb come back and say, yes, the walls are so wide and the walls are so high and the giants are twice as big as us, but God is bigger than any of that. We must have faith in God. And God had determined then that none of those spies, except for Joshua and Caleb, would enter the land. And now the time had come. They were to enter the land, and Moses had died, and they're ready to go into that promised land. Joshua is now Moses' successor, as we read about that in chapter 30 or 31 of Deuteronomy, but then also into the first chapter of Joshua, we read about that. Promise has been made to them about this land already back in Genesis chapter 15, if you want to refer to that briefly in verses 18 to 21 about this promised land. So Joshua sends out two spies on what we might call a reconnaissance mission. They go to the fortified city of Judah, of Jericho, and what comes from this event is a reminder again that faith that works points to Jesus Christ and faith alone in him. Let's look at four parts of this passage and divide up chapter 2 in this way. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, we'll look at the test of faith on the part of Rahab. And then we will look at the proclamation of faith in verses 8 through 11. In verses 12 to 21, we'll look at the work of faith, faith in action. And in the concluding verses, we will look at deliverance by faith in verses 22, 23, and 24. A test of faith, first of all. We may wonder why Joshua sent in two spies. Well, we might think that one of the first reasons would be that they wanted to do a military analysis of the land. What were their armies like? What was their ammunition like? What was the state of affairs about that? But what we read from what follows in Joshua chapter 2 is nothing about a military report from these spies. These two spies come back and they tell all about a prostitute by the name of Rahab and all that they encountered in being delivered from the enemy by the act of faith of one woman, an unlikely one to help them, a prostitute by the name of Rahab, of all people. What would appear to be a godless prostitute of the pagan religion, but one whose heart was being prepared by God through his Holy Spirit in a tender way so that the plan of God for salvation would continue on and would not be snuffed out as Satan continues to try to do throughout the scriptures and in our day today. The prostitutes' homes were built into the walls, kind of a row of houses within the walls, and that's what we read about here. But what's most notable is to notice how Rahab fits into God's plans. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, Rahab is noted amongst the descendants of Jesus Christ. Rahab is the great great-grandmother of David. Rahab's grandmother was Ruth. And so as we look at this, we begin to see that there's something falling into place here where Rahab is being used in an unexpected way, as only God would do it, to provide for the ongoing plan of salvation towards the coming of Rahab's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. Jesus Christ. I don't know how many greats that would be, but I know that Jesus Christ was great. And as we look at this, then we begin to see that Canaan was living in a very immoral and idolatrous kind of situation, but this woman has had a change of heart that can only miraculously have been accomplished by God's Holy Spirit working in her, because she had no example of those around her to teach her these things. Now, it may sound rather speculative to say that God was changing her heart, but how else can we explain from the context of the scriptures the fact that she responded in the way that she did? Why else would she hide the spies? She must have known that her house would be searched because the king's men would distrust her allegiance, surely. Who else would be so anxious to take a chance on protecting one or two of God's people, two in this case? But God, working in her heart, comes to her as he comes to us. Because really, when we think about it, we also are unlikely candidates for salvation. Our lives, by human nature, are filled with a stench of sin. But by the grace of God, who withholds us from some of that. And so our faith too, people of God, is being tested. And as our faith is tested, we need to ask ourselves, how do we line up in terms of demonstrating our faith in Christ? It's an interesting thing that we read in the passage here that Rahab lied in order to save the spies. How do we fit that in? Was that right? Was that wrong? You ever ask those questions? Ethical questions like that? We need to remember in the case of Rahab that she is now just beginning to understand what's going on with God and his people, doesn't have all of the answers to all of the detailed questions about faith, but she has a spark of faith planted in her by God's Holy Spirit. But she lives in an environment where lying and cheating and immorality are a way of life. She knows nothing else, and she uses one of those elements in order to do what she thinks is the best thing to do. And by God's grace, he uses that, although it is not right. This is not a place for us to say, well, this means that the ends justifies the means. Doesn't matter how we get the gospel out there as long as it gets out there. That's not what this is teaching. What this is teaching is that this woman who has just a spark of faith is used by God in a most unique way in order to bring out and bring along and to move along God's plan of salvation for his people. We also make mistakes in our lives, don't we? And it's not okay for us to say, well, that's okay. God will overlook this. No, he doesn't. We are called upon, as we did earlier in the service of worship, to confess our sin. And only then will we be forgiven that sin. God always gives us the opportunity to pick up the pieces, as it were, in our messed up, sinful lives, as he did with Rahab, too. God looks beyond Rahab's human weakness and saw what was in her heart, planted there by himself, and he honored that. As we look at the various aspects of God's work of salvation, we see that God is setting the stage by softening Rahab's heart, setting the stage for the fulfillment of Jesus Christ to come. And he is out softening our hearts to set the stage for the second coming of Jesus Christ. She had the first coming to look forward to yet, 1,000 years later or so. We have the second coming. We don't know how many days or months or years or decades or hundreds of years that will be yet. But God is working on us in this way. Rahab, as we look at point two, proclaims her faith in verses 8 to 11. Rahab's statement of faith is profound. She says, I know in verse 9 that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. She doesn't say, well, I'm guessing that, or maybe God is. She's not saying, I'm wondering about something or I have been told about this. She says, I know. That's faith. I know that God has been doing amazing things. Yes, I've been hearing about that. On the basis of that, while others' hearts may melt and melt away out of fear of God, I'm not afraid because I am prone now to embrace what God has been doing for his people. To whom else would he do that except for his beloved people to whom he has made a promise? I wonder if we perhaps in the comfort of our own Christian circles have a tendency to not even hear what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about because we hear it so often and say, oh, yeah, that again, eh? We hear it in our homes, we hear it in our schools, we hear it in our Christian schools as we send our children there or in the homeschooling situations through all of our courses, right? And we hear it in the church, we hear it amongst, we have friends and family and extended family that are in the Christian community and those who are outside of the Christian community who may be listening to this can bear testimony to the fact that they see those who are living in these Christian communities and wonder what this is all about. And desire perhaps to become a part of a Christian community like that. You are welcome to join this part of the Christian community as we see that taking place. Rahab knew the enemy, and she knew all about the Israelites and all about how God was dealing with his enemy. God's people were being unfaithful in their response. And they had been hearing about this all their lives long. They had actually experienced many of these elements of God's faithfulness, and yet they were turning away from God on many occasions in the history of the Old Testament and beyond. But Rahab, her response is different. She directs herself, moved by God's Spirit, to provide a response that is a more profound and deeply spiritual response to faith in Christ than those who were the people of God. Shame on them. Shame on us, who are the people of God, who do not always respond in faith to the obvious things that are going on around us. Rahab, by the way, is also mentioned by the author of Hebrews. Amongst those who were the men and women of faith of the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, we read, "The faith, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." In that verse, she's even identified as being a prostitute. By faith, the prostitute Rahab. It's sort of like a glowing recognition of how God works in our lives in the most amazing, surprising ways. She becomes a banner, a showpiece, if you will, of God's Holy Spirit working in the life of an unexpected candidate, if you will, for salvation. And so we too are called upon to respond as a Christian community to the call of Christ in our lives. And not just simply receive all of this news and say, "Well, I'm sure glad I got this news, and I'm sure glad that I was able to be a part of this Christian family and go on your way." That's not what God is calling for us to do. God's call for us is to take the faith that has been granted to us and put it into action. Do something with it. Tell others about it. And make a difference in the way that we live our lives. We talked about that earlier in the description of the Ten Commandments, that worshiping God means to demonstrate in everything that we do in our life to follow Him, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Everything that we do hangs on doing that faithfully in our lives. When we think this through, then we begin to understand what Rahab's declaration of faith really was when she says in verse 11, upon hearing of all the different things, she said, "As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you." And then it says here, "For the Lord your God," this is my profession of faith, says Rahab, and it ought to be ours. "For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." That's what God's call is for us, and a lesson for us. You know, there are times when we talk to different people about faith in Christ that they would say, "You know, it's so hard for us to have this faith in Christ. I wish that I lived in the time of Jesus." Ever hear people say that to you? "I wish I was there when Jesus fed the 5,000. Then I might believe. I wish I was there when He healed the many people. I wish I was there to hear His words of wisdom as He taught the crowds and as He sat in the synagogue and taught the leaders of the synagogue as a boy of 12 in all His wisdom already then. I wish I was a part of that." But what I read here is that God's people had experienced directly the work of God in their lives. And yet they didn't respond as they ought to have. But Rahab did. They had experienced the passing through of the Red Sea as a community of people. That's why they were where they were, because they were delivered from the Red Sea. Rahab had not experienced that, and yet she responds in faith. They had experienced God speaking to Moses with the Ten Commandments and having it given to them. They had experienced that firsthand as Moses came down from the mountain and provided for them the Ten Commandments as God had spoken to them. Rahab had not experienced that, and yet she responds in faith. How great is our God in giving the gift of faith to those whom he has chosen to himself. And how great is the responsibility to us as we are called upon to respond in faith to these great things, even though we may not have seen firsthand or experienced firsthand all of these wonderful things. Just the fact that we know that God has done that is an opportunity for us to give thanks to him and respond in faith by the way we do things. And that's where we turn in point number three, the work of faith, in verses 12 to 21, where we see that all of this is taking place, and James in particular identifies Rahab and her role of faith in verse 25 and 26. In verse 22 of our text that we read, we see that you see that faith was active along with his works, referring to Abraham, and faith was completed by his works. But then in verse 25, we read, and in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works. Putting the work into action, you see, the faith rather, putting the faith into action. That's what this is all about, and that's what James is writing all about. We see this, and we understand then that Rahab hid the spies because she believed. Hiding the spies was for her evidence of faith, that her faith was genuine, it was real. Rahab was considered righteous not because she hid the 10 spies, as though hiding the 10 spies say, okay, you did a good thing, now you are considered righteous. Rahab was not considered righteous because she hid the spies. She hid the spies because she was righteous. It was a response of faith. It's exactly the opposite of what you and I might think. And that's what this is all about. Responding in faith by the things that we do, the things that we say, and the things that we think every day of our lives. Acting out on that. Consider the request that she made. She says in verse 16, she said to them, go into that after they have been rescued, right? She says, now go to the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. Go. Run, the pursuers are there, she says to them. If I had been there, I'm going to be very honest with you, I may very well have said, now that I have rescued you, go, but take me with you. Save me right now. Take me with you, because I want to be spared. But she wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about God's men, these two spies. Look at this, and then we begin to understand that she withstood this, the temptation that would be there by human nature to save herself and her family. Although then later on she says, and now when you have done that, I want you to remember what has happened, and if by God's grace he sees fit to save me and my family, please do so. I don't know how that will take place, because I know that God is going to destroy Jericho. But I have faith that he can. Her act of faith was used by God to prepare the way for the ongoing work of God through his people, sparing his people through her, so that Jesus Christ could come. We need to be aware, people of God, that destruction was at hand for Jericho in the same way that destruction is at hand in our world today. And we have a responsibility to shout out the news to others, say, the world is coming to an end. Respond to the call of Jesus Christ so that you may be embraced amongst those Who will be saved when the world is destroyed? Respond now to that. Rahab's faith moved her to stick her neck out, as it were, to go against the popular trend of the day. How easy it is for us to just go with the flow. It's not very popular to talk about Jesus Christ, to talk about our faith. I get all tongue-twisted when I want to talk about my faith with somebody else, really? Rahab had no difficulty expressing that in the work of faith that she does. Does our faith in Christ make a difference in the way that we live our lives? Do you live differently, knowing the fact that you have been saved by faith through Jesus Christ, and so you want to show your thankfulness to Him? That will be coming up in the Lord's days that you will be studying in the next several weeks. People of God, I want us to understand that Rahab was an unlikely candidate for salvation. In the scriptures, we have more unlikely candidates. The thief on the cross was an unlikely candidate. The fishermen whom Jesus chose as His disciples were simple people, far away from who God or Christ was, a tax collector among them, unlikely candidates for salvation, and not only that, unlikely candidates for leadership in the church of Jesus Christ. Following that, Roman soldiers, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, unlikely candidates. And each one of us, you and me, really, as unlikely candidates for salvation when we look deep in our hearts and what our natural desires are. And yet God saying, you are chosen by me. Now act accordingly. Live in that faith. Faith is tested. It is to be proclaimed. It is to be lived so that we may be delivered from that. May that be our challenge as we live every day of our lives, to put our faith, that gift of faith, into action in the works and in the way that we live our lives. Amen. Let's pray.